From Johannesburg to Jerusalem, the world is always changing, growing and innovating. Join Benji Shulman for the next hour as he brings you the trendsetters, the thought leaders and those creating news before it happens. Only on the New Blue Review, your favorite Jewish culture and current affairs show. Every Monday at 9 a.m. right here on 101.9 Chai FM.
Sam Mater is the editor and publisher of Jazz Life magazine, as well as two other books, and a frequent writer in the Sowetan on arts and heritage, and has also recently collaborated with the creation of a book called Joburg Noir, which is a book of short stories on Johannesburg. And he's on the line with us. Sam, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us on Chai FM.
Thank you, Benji. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
So before we get into your particular story, tell us a little bit about Joburg Noir. How did you become involved with this project? And what is the idea behind the collection of short stories?
Joburg Noir is a collection of short stories written by South African writers. It came out late last year, around October. And the idea behind it was I was approached to be one of the contributors. We're about 20 of us. The idea was to highlight the city from different perspectives. So each writer was expected to write based on what he knows and his experiences about the city. That was basically the idea. So when the editor phoned me, I was quite excited. His name is Nick Mshongo. And then he said, I think you just belong to this publication. We would really like you to be part of us. So that was the background. And but as you can imagine, Benji, I mean, Joburg is over 100 years. And some of us have been around for a while. So it was quite daunting for me to try and make sense of such a big city with such a rich history.
And of course, Nick himself is also a prolific writer and editor. He's just been nominated for a Sunday Times Literary Fiction Award for some of his other works. So you really are in the company of a number of interesting writers. And what I thought was fascinating is how, as you say, some of you have been around for a long time and some of the authors are quite new. So it's quite a nice mix when you come to consider what the city is all about.
Yes, and that was what was fascinating, you know, that combination, you know, of young writers and those who have been around. So just to get a sense, a feel of, you know, how they approached it, each approached it uniquely, I think, based on that as well.
So when you then were faced with this problem of how do you deal with such a large and diverse city, Sam, how did you settle on writing about Yeovil? What spoke to you about that when you wanted to do your story?
I'll say the cultural and artistic scene in the 90s. Post-apartheid, let's say from 95, you are jazz, you have Kwaito, and you have all these interesting characters, all these interesting artists who are behind these genres of music. And most of them were concentrated in Yeovil. Of course, there were other parts, you know, in the city, in the inner city, you are Hillbro, Berea. But I think Yeovil was much more impressive in that regard. It had a huge concentration of artists, from musicians to broadcasters. And so many things started there, you know, radio stations. I think YFM, for instance, was part of the scene there. Yeah. So for me, I think that was the main inspiration. I could just zoom in on that and then the story started unfolding.
And you, as you say, like you list some of the people that were in Yeovil in the 90s at the times, Fred Kumalo, De Antwoord, Black Sunshine. These are all household names in South Africa, which I guess were people who were still getting and groups that were still getting their feet there in the 90s in that space.
Yes, they were new. Everybody was new. And I guess that was what was exciting. Everybody was new. They were trying to get their feet in the space, as you indicate. And they became pioneers in their different fields. You know, the writers, the journalists, the musicians, broadcasters, all of them.
For many of the listeners to the station, Yeovil holds a place in their hearts as you say, a cultural place, but also as somewhere where people lived. My grandfather lived next to the Yeovil fire station. I remember that as a kid growing up. And many people have fond memories because it very much was a also at that stage a Jewish area. And you talk about some of the Jewish politicians, Harry Schwartz. You talk about the parliamentarian that was interesting. So there really is also a big mix. Yeovil then in the 90s is maybe similar to what maybe Melville or Norwood is today.
Well, yeah, definitely. And for me, to mention the Jewish character, that was the history, of course. And I realized that, you know, I could have written about Yeovil, you know, the cultural scene just from 1990 and leave it at there. But I think I would have done a disservice. So for me, as a cultural historian, as a researcher, it was important for me to bring back, you know, the roots, to highlight the roots of the neighborhood, and inevitably to include the Jewish aspect in that regard. You are Harry Schwartz, Ron Kasrigus, Leon Levy, Joe Slovo, and we even had Johnny Clegg, who lived in the neighborhood at the time.
Sam Mate today, he is an author and did a short story on Yeovil for Joburg Noir, which is an edited short story edition about the city. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back just after this.
From Johannesburg to Jerusalem, the world is always changing, growing, and innovating. Join Benji Shulman for the next hour as he brings you the trendsetters, the thought leaders, and those creating news before it happens. Only on the New Blue Review, your favorite Jewish culture and current affairs show. Every Monday at 9 a.m. right here on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. I am Benji Shulman. This is the New Blue Review. We are talking to Sam Mate today, who is a writer and an art critic of sorts, one might say. He's the editor of Jazz Life magazine and written a few books and has written a collection of short stories. Sam, you know, we sort of lost Yeovil in the sense that you was writing it in the 90s. It's obviously changed now. It's a place that's very different from its composition and is mm-hmm. considered maybe a dangerous place these days or something like that. I mean, do you think that we lost something when the Yeovil that you wrote about disappeared?
No, definitely. Definitely. I mean, the Yeovil of the 90s, for me, what was even more fascinating was the cultural mix. People from different parts of the world, you know, who lived there. And unfortunately, with the passage of time, especially towards the millennium, things started taking a wrong turn, so to speak. You had the crime. I think crime levels increased. I'm not saying there wasn't crime before, but and also the policing in the neighborhood became suspect. It was not really what the residents were expecting. So I think that was the main problem that prompted a lot of people to leave the area. And of course, today, it's got that bad reputation. Many people don't feel free about, you know, venturing into places like Yeovil and its neighbors, you know, your Hillbro and Berea, for instance. And Bellevue, of course. So
and
that
yet,
is unfortunate.
I've seen also, like, in some ways, you know, many African migrants that have come from other parts of the continent they settled in Yeovil in maybe a similar way to the way that the Jewish community would have done it 100 years ago. And they've also brought their own kind of flavor and cultural heritage to the neighborhood today, food, language. The Yeovil actually does have stuff to offer people if they know where to look.
Yeah, it does. For instance, you still have people like Sanza, who's running a restaurant there and who has made it very clear that he's not going anywhere. And hopefully in the future, we might have a situation where we'll have a different take in terms of, you know, the policing aspect. For me, that is the main thing. And of course, also, you know, trying to really make it clean. I suppose, for instance, some of the residents in the past, they didn't really feel they were part of the neighborhood. So hence the seediness and all that. But I think currently there is some kind of a feeling of community. People now will hopefully take pride in their surroundings and Yeovil will regenerate. I hope it will come back. You know, like, you know, in other parts of the city, for instance, in Maboneng, you have a very serious regeneration drive. You know, big business has come back, and there's quite a very exciting artistic and cultural atmosphere happening there. I hope the same will happen to Yeovil very soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Sam, let's move away from the particular book and your particular story for the moment. Just look at the art scene at the moment in South Africa. You know, I think it's a very difficult time. If you're an artist, we've seen theaters closing, other theaters potentially closing. What's your take on where the art world in South Africa is at the moment?
Oh, it's very sad, Benji. It's very sad because I think COVID has had a very serious toll on the arts, particularly the live scene. You know, the majority of our artists, they depend on shows, whether it's live music or, you know, in theater. And those are the ones that have been very much hard hit. You know, we couldn't have, I think now this is going to be the second year when we are not going to have the jazz festivals. We've got the main one, which is Joy of Jazz. I think that's the big job creator for musicians. So it's very bad. It's really bad. And unfortunately, the relief funds that were supposed to be committed to the artists, again, there's a very big problem in that regard. The government didn't play their part. And now we have a stalemate, artists making demands and the government not budging. I think that is a tragedy because the arts are the lifeblood of this country. And without artists, I don't know, I can't imagine a society without artists. And I suppose I strongly feel that the treatment is just so unfair and so irrational.
Well, you've been very outspoken on the issue of the artists outside the National Arts Council and the National Arts Council in general. What is your view about what's going on there and why it's not working?
Well, I think they've got legitimate grievances. What needs to be done is for the authorities, especially the board, to explain what happened to all the monies that were committed to the relief drive. So that is basically the issue. The musicians are saying, let us have some transparency. Let us have some honesty in how the monies have been dispensed, because, you know, you find there's a serious, huge disjuncture in terms of how these monies have been dispensed. You know, some musicians that reports, I think you've heard of reports where one artist will be given over like millions, 10 million, stuff like that, while others are still scraping and waiting for crumbs for few thousands for months. So that is the sad part.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just hope they'll find a solution very soon, because now we are approaching 2 months. I think today is like, say, day 54 or day 55. It's very sad.
And it's very interesting for me that Natia Ntetwa, who is the Minister of Arts, Sport and Culture, I think that's the correct designation.
Yes,
you know, he seems to have acted very quickly on this issue of Cricket South Africa and managed to get the board in there in line. And yet seems to be completely absent when it comes to the issue of the arts. It just hasn't said anything.
He hasn't said anything. And even worse, the presidency hasn't said anything. The office that is responsible for having made these funds available, they've also not said anything, which is even worse. But I think in the case of Mr. Natim Tetwa, I think for him, the best thing for him to do is to just resign, you know, and the musicians will have to sit down, the artists will have to sit down and decide what to do, you know, mapping their way forward. But I think they've been failed spectacularly.
South African culture at the moment is actually having a little bit of a moment in the sun. I mean, I discussed the Octopus Teacher just before I came on, but we've also interviewed on this show Master KG. There's been a number of musicians who've been going overseas and doing well. Moonshine Sainly comes to mind. A number of others with the Lion King. All sorts of things. South African culture is actually still producing unique and interesting works. who would you put for the next, say, 5 years if you're going to say, keep a watch out for this person, if you're a culture vulture type person in South Africa that you want to see going forward? Who would you be putting on your list for people to watch in whatever sphere?
I'll say I won't have specific names, but I'll say we have to look into the amongst the writers, for instance. You know, when I look at this book, Joburg Noir, I came across, you know, wonderful fresh voices of young writers. And the music scene is also exciting because now we have shifted from Kwaito. There's a lot of diversifications across the board, you know, whether you're talking about music from the townships or just across the board, is just fascinating. And of course, I think you'll agree with me that we always spring surprises, you know, as it happens with Master KG, it was just amazing what has just happened. Nobody really expected that we could have such a young prospect, just taking the world by storm the way he did. So to put names, because sometimes you get these wonderful artists and you have hope for the future for them, but after a few months they just disappear. So that's a tough one to put names. But I'll say across the board, we can expect really like world-class performances. I mean, the film that you have just mentioned, it just filled me with so much pride to think that, oh, well, we're there. We've been there before. If you remember Tsotsi, for instance, and others in between. But this one is another big one. Just an amazing, I mean, it's a unique production, definitely. And I would really love to say thank you. Congratulations to the creators. They did a wonderful job in this regard.
I'm talking to Sam Mate today. He's a writer and cultural critic. And if you have any memories of Yeovil, which he wrote about in his book, you can SMS us on 34519 and let us know what you remember from your days in Yeovil. Now Sam, one of the things you also like to do is go back and look at the other side of the coin, artists who did amazing things, maybe have been forgotten. You wrote a fantastic, some fantastic things about the history of Zulu radio and different artists that have sort of come before us. Why don't you take this opportunity to educate our listeners on one of your favorites there, some artists that you wish South Africans knew more about?
I think the country has contributed so much, Benji, in that regard. We've got a very rich history of broadcasting, for instance. And unfortunately, over the years, we tend to forget where we're coming from in this instance. We don't really honor these people who made this difference that much. And in fact, we just forget about them. So for me, it's really about memory, it's about history, it's about appreciation, it's about celebration for these pioneers who, you know, opened paths for the next generations to shine through on the airwaves and elsewhere. So it's really important. Besides, when I was growing up, I was just very passionate about radio. I just loved radio. And so, you know, sometimes I constantly look back and think about somebody or some people that, you know, I can remind the readers to say, oh, here he is, he's still around. The latest example was a gentleman from Pretoria, Mr. David Mochibi, who founded Radio Bob back in the 80s. And many people are saying, oh, we didn't know that he's still around. So thank you for having highlighted, you know, his life. And I think he's just one of those unsung heroes of the country. And I was very happy and grateful that I got the opportunity to write something about him.
Now, Sam, what projects are you working on now? You've now completed this chapter for the book. What else are you working on sort of in general in your creative and artistic life?
I'm doing several projects, but I think one that is worth mentioning is the history of the Market Theatre. The Market Theatre turns 45 this year, and it has, over the years, it has had all these colorful and interesting characters on stage. So I'm looking at what I call a biographical history of the Market Theatre. Snippets of the lives of those who touched the audiences at the time and some of the milestones, you know, because there's had a lot of milestones over the years. And I thought 45 years is something to be celebrated, going, you know, moving ahead towards the half century, towards 50 years. But I thought at least this year, maybe one could look at something. And I'm just happy that my publishers are very excited about this project, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, sounds fantastic. Of course, the Market Theatre, very much a part of life in the city, and definitely, Sam, we'll have to have you on to talk about that. If people want to get hold of Joburg Noir, where can they do that?
I think Exclusive Books will be the main one. And of course, there's also CNA. I don't have to forget CNA. CNA, they've got also events where they invite book lovers to come and discuss some of these texts. And CNA and Exclusive Books are the main ones in this regard.
Well, there you go. Go check it out. Joburg Noir and Sam Matez, very interesting chapter on Heelbrow. Sam, thank you so much for joining us on the show, and good luck with your work.
Oh, thank you very much. Let me just, as a cutting shot, mention that is by Jacana Media, by the way. Joburg Noir is published by Jacana Media.
It is, in fact, by Jacana Media. And if you follow Sam on Facebook, if you check him out, if you want to have a look at everything that he writes about art, it's definitely worth reading. Sam, thank you so much, and hopefully we'll chat to you again soon.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate that.